Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
The water, it went up to almost to my knees. Keep in mind, I'm at work, so I'm showing up to this place soaking wet. I'm dripping. Luckily, it was raining outside, so I was like, yeah, there's a lot of rain out there. And so I get there, and I do all my deliveries, and then, but I have to take stuff back, too, at that stop. So I had to pick up all the returns, and I had to carry them all the way back through the flood, through the water, to the car. And I get there, and I was so exhausted. I can't even explain it. Like, I just wanted to absolutely give up in that moment. I didn't even want to continue. I still had one more stop I had to go to. But I didn't even feel like it. I just felt completely drained. So I want to tell you guys tonight, that's how we can get in our spiritual walk with Christ. If we're not in fellowship with Him, we can get tired and restless and just completely drained. So, at times, I think we lose sight, too, that God's right here with us, right? And one of His names is Emmanuel. And what does that mean? And God with us, right? He's right here. John 14:16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that He may remain in you forever." Amen. Right? Jesus told His disciples that He would send a comforter. That He would send His Holy Spirit, right? And we'd never be alone. So we're not distanced from Him. You guys, He's close. He's here. He's with us. He also calls us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11, it says, "I baptize you with the water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." See, God desires us to live our lives by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to walk in His presence. He wants us to be in fellowship with Him, right? But before we even start getting into how to be in fellowship with Him, what does it mean? What is fellowship? See, in 2 Corinthians 13:14, go ahead and turn there with me. Go ahead and say amen when you get there. Do you want to read that for us, Shelby?
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Okay. I love studying in like the Amplified Version too, so I'm also going to read that to you guys as well tonight. And in the Amplified Version it says, "The grace, favor, and spiritual blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God in the presence and fellowship, the communion, sharing together, and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all." See, everything in this verse, it points to a threefold companionship with God. It points to having that communication, sharing together, and participating in the Holy Spirit. So how do we remain in that communication with the Holy Spirit? See, when I was growing up, I had my best friend, and we were close. All throughout, we've known each other since kindergarten, and we would spend every moment together that we could, anytime possible. If we could stay the night with each other, we would. We would walk to school together, and we ended up coming up with this journal that we put all of our favorite things on. And one of our favorite things, I love chocolate. and she couldn't stand chocolate. She loved spaghetti. So the theme of our journal was chocolate-covered spaghetti. It was all over the front of the journal. But what I'm telling you is we use this journal to communicate continually. Like if we weren't in each other's midst, we were constantly writing letters to each other, or we were speaking to each other through that, or writing stories to each other. And we would go through junior high and we would, we would share that with each other and trade it off. And but as the days went by and we got towards the end of junior high, we stopped using the journal. We stopped communicating through that. We got to high school, and the only communication we had at that point was we had taken weight training together. And so we would talk a little bit in weight training class, but it was like a touch and go. Like, we would talk for a little bit in weight training, but as soon as we left that building, we didn't talk anymore. We didn't communicate. And so it continued on, and we graduated. And to this day, we still aren't even in communication anymore. See, and that's, I'm telling you this tonight, because we don't want to get into that routine with the Holy Spirit. We don't want to get to a point where we're no longer even communicating with Him, and we turn around one day and we're not even in communication anymore. So how do we stay in that communication? We need to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 through 18 says, "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you." We need to stay in that communication daily throughout our days. It says continually. So, and everybody's got stuff going on, but we can still stay in communication through our work, throughout our day, throughout everything that's going on. We also need to take time in our day to have that silent time alone with the Holy Spirit, to have that silent time with God. I know with my husband and I, we have three kids, and things can get completely chaotic in the home where we can't even hear each other talk sometimes because they're just going so wild and crazy. But in the midst of that, when we get a break away and we're just alone and we can have that time to communicate, just the two of us, it's so much more beautiful. And we get that intimate relationship, and we can grow more in that. So you guys, we need to set that time aside with God, where it's just us and Him, and we're able to receive from Him and hear and spend that intimate one-on-one time with Him. We need to be listening to the Holy Spirit, right? We need to be reading our Word. I know oftentimes for me, when I've been in my Word and I've been reading God's Word, He'll speak to me out of a verse that maybe I've read a million times, and I've just been reading it and reading it and reading it, and then all of a sudden, He'll speak to me in my current situation, something that's going on, that verse, I didn't realize it before, and then all of a sudden, He'll speak to me through His Holy Spirit. We need to be getting into the Word. We need to be reading it. Can you guys turn with me to Hebrews 4:12? You want to read it for us when you get there? You got it? I can read it. It's okay. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even through dividing soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It judges through the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." See, the word of God is alive. It's active. He can speak to us through His word. We need to use that resource. We need to get in our Bible and start reading it and allowing Him to speak to us through His word. We need to stay in that communication with the Holy Spirit. He'll bring into remembrance things that we have read in His word or things that He has spoken to us. The Holy Spirit will bring those things back up when you need them, and He'll speak that to you. It says, John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I have said to you. We need to be in that communication. We need to allow him to speak to us. We also need to be sharing together with the Holy Spirit. That's another part to that verse, is sharing together. It comes from, the root word is koinonia. It refers to sharing together as pecuniary benefication, and pecuniary being consisting of, or the measure in money, of or relating to money, benefication being the act of doing something good, right, of either giving a donation to charity or the donation or help given, right? So when it's saying this, this part of sharing together also refers to money in the verse, and sharing together with the Holy Spirit in our money. I know several times that, that we've been, my husband and I, we've been in worship, and we've just been praying to God, and then the Holy Spirit will come upon us and ask to give everything beyond the tithe at that moment. Literally everything that we have in our wallet at that moment. And it's his money. So when he does that, we have to, we listen and we obey and we give that away. And I tell you, every single time he's taken care of us. Every time he's provided for us. See, we need to allow him to speak to us and minister through our money. He knows what the needs are, right? We need to be willing to let that go. There's been times when there's been a complete stranger and the Holy Spirit has said that. And I tell you, I know my flesh, I don't know about you guys, but my flesh, a lot of times I don't want to let it go, right? We want to hold on. It's our money. It's our money. And, but you got to, we got to get to that mindset where we're willing to share all with the Holy Spirit. We're just willing to let it go. We need to get out of that it's mine mentality where we're like, that's my money. We need to, it's his money. That's God's money. Do you guys want to turn with me to Luke 16:19 through 11? Go ahead and say amen when you get there.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and read that. It says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with very much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling your worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? See, we need to get into that mentality. It's his, right? We need to use that for his glory, for his good. It belongs to him. We also need to be sharing our hearts and our time, right? We need to be sharing that with the Holy Spirit. If he's speaking to us to minister or to be spending time with people or to even go out of your way, maybe it's going to take you an hour out of your way, gas money, time traveling, to go meet up with a person in need, we need to be willing to give that. We need to be willing to give our heart and share our time with people as well. We need to be willing to do that and share with the Holy Spirit everything. Luke 14, 12 through 14. Then Jesus said to the host, when you give a lunch on or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back so that you can be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of righteousness. Right? Because that's not what it's about. We don't want to share in the Holy Spirit so we're getting something in return, or we're getting paid, or we don't want to have somebody over to dinner just so we're going to get something back out of it. We just want to share it. Just share all of that. Share your heart. Share your time with people. Share that. Share in that with the Holy Spirit. The other part to that is in participation. We need to be in participation with the Holy Spirit. And I want to share with you tonight about Philip. And in Acts, Philip went to Samaria and he was preaching about Christ in Samaria. And there was a ton of people getting saved. The ministry was just huge. And he's sitting there and he's ministering to people and teaching them about Christ. And then something happens, right? God's plan kind of changes design for him a little bit. So go ahead and turn to Acts 26 through 39. Acts 8, 26 through 39. Okay. So, it says, "In the same way the Spirit leads us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes." Oh, I'm in the wrong... I was like, that is a good one, right? We could totally use that one too. Yep. Okay. I was in the wrong book. All right. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, to the desert road. That goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' He started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, but on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture: 'He will be led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave the orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him." See, you know, why I'm reading that huge portion of scripture to you guys today is I want you to see that story and how that had happened. The angel came and asked Philip, when he was there ministering and sharing Christ, he asked him to go. Philip didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know he was going to see that eunuch or the things that were going to happen, but God knew. God knew the plans that he had for Philip, and he knew what directions he needed to go in. And Philip participated. He listened, and he went. Philip, even when he comes up to the chariot, the Holy Spirit tells him to go near it, right? And what did Philip do? He went up to the chariot. He listened to what the Holy Spirit was saying to him. He went up to the chariot. I know in my life sometimes when I hear that voice, you have that decision to either listen to the Holy Spirit and to participate, or you have the choice to go your own way. But we need to participate. That's a part of being in fellowship with him, is that participation. And then Philip goes on to share Christ with him, with the eunuch. So how do we, in our lives, how can we take that participation? We need to be listening. We need to be actively in fellowship with him. We need to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and participating in the things that he asks us. And, you know, there's different ways that he can speak to all of us. He can speak to you, to your heart. He can speak to you through a dream or a vision. He can speak to you through worship or the word, or through another believer. He can speak to you through a sermon. But are we taking that, what we're hearing, are we taking what the Holy Spirit says to us, and are we participating in that? Are we taking action? Are we moving forward in that and doing something with what He's saying to us? Are we listening? Are we participating? See, we need to remain in that continual communication with the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying and continuously staying in that communication with Him. We need to be, like we were talking about, we need to be sharing with the Holy Spirit. And that means our money and our time. That means giving all to the Holy Spirit. And we need to be participating in the Holy Spirit. See, Philip could have never ministered to the eunuch without participating, right? If God had told him to go and he didn't go, and he didn't participate, that eunuch might not have never heard about Christ. So we need to be listening and participating when He asks us. We need to take that action. We need to daily be in that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and bow your heads with me. I'll go ahead and close up in some prayer. Father, I thank You for this night tonight and for bringing this word to us, God, about being in fellowship with You. Father, I pray that from this moment forward that we strive to be in a closer communication with You, God, and that we don't cease to stop praying, God. I pray that we're continually in that prayer with You, Father. I pray that You help us to share together in the Holy Spirit, Father, that we're willing to give all. And I pray that You help us to participate, God. Father, I pray that the things that You've spoken to our hearts tonight, God, that we take that with us, that we don't leave it here. In Jesus' name, amen.